And we're going to talk now about this report on educational access, which shows or confirms yet again in some detail the report from the Higher Education Authority that third level colleges are a bit like the Ritz Hotel, open to all in theory, but the reality, as we know, but as I say, it's spelt out in this report again, is quite different. And we're joined by the Chief Executive of the Authority, Tom Boland. Good morning and welcome. The figures, I've mentioned some of them already, stark differences between the highest and the lowest. Just give us an idea of what you see as what shows the overall picture, what's happening and what the differences are.
Yeah, the context here, first of all, Cathal, is that the Higher Education Authority, in partnership with the Minister of Education and Skills, her department, we're working towards the development of a new plan for equity of access to higher education. This will be the third in a series of plans. And the paper that's published with the facts they're talking about is a consultation paper. We want a plan by the end of the year, and we want to get a wide range of views as to how we address this problem of inequity in higher education. Now,
how great is the inequity? Give us an idea.
There has been great progress, but the national average is 52% of 17 to 19 year olds go on to higher education. That ranges from as high as 60% in places like Galway and Mayo to as low as 16% in Ballyfermot in Dublin 10. So it's a huge span. And what it and within that span also, it demonstrates areas of the country where in fact there is effectively full participation in higher education. In other words, virtually all eligible young people go on to higher education. And in other parts of the country, virtually no young people go on to higher education. So it's a very, very mixed picture. It's a picture of considerable success overall, but what it is showing...
When you say considerable success overall, in what way, how much?
In the sense, for instance, I'd give you another statistic in a report with lots of statistics. In the context of the proportion of our population with higher level qualifications, we top the EU in 30 to 34 year olds.
And it's still improving nationally.
And still improving nationally. So that's good. But what we have, though, are some very deep pockets of disadvantage. And the problem, the key problem here is that it seems to be resilient to any solution, if I could put it that way.
Because you've set targets on various categories, yes, and haven't met them.
We have met targets in quite a number of areas, but one area where we have not met targets, we have not met targets in some areas of students with disabilities, which are equally important, but a much bigger group is for lower socioeconomic groups, the lowest socioeconomic groups, which have remained more or less static in terms of the participation in higher education.
Now, you're starting a consultation process, so you're looking for ideas. But are we talking here about things like the Access Programme in DCU, which Louise Byrne reported on earlier? Is that the kind of thing we're talking about?
Look, there are great programmes happening right across the sector, and the DCU one is a great example, and I take my hat off to the Access Officers, people like Eta Tobin, who was on your programme earlier. Wonderful, wonderful programmes. Nevertheless, evidence-based policy, the evidence is that we are not reaching a certain proportion of the population, and that there are still very significant barriers to access for many, many people. I think the programmes in the universities and in the Institutes of Technology, they're very sound, but I think what we need is some kind of much more systemic approach, particularly to address areas of deep disadvantage. And this isn't, Carl, this isn't just a kind of a nice to do social issue. There is a hard nosed economic issue around these huge reservoirs of talent. You can call them reservoirs of disadvantage or pools of disadvantage, but in fact, they're reservoirs of talent for Ireland. We need the skills of those young people.
Right. Two questions that are fairly obvious I just want to ask you about. The first is, access programmes are fine in letting people in with lower, on a lower marks in their Leaving Cert or whatever. That's all good. But have you got the evidence to show that if you do that, that the end result is what it should be? I mean, do they perform, these people who are coming on these access programmes, do they actually make it through to the end of college?
They do.
Obviously not all.
They are certainly no worse. They're as good as students that come in the ordinary way, let's put it like that. And certainly some anecdotal evidence would suggest they are better. The ESRI, a short time back, did a study on two programmes, the Here and There, the Higher Education Access Route and the Disability Access Route. They were positive in their assessment of those programmes. The difficulty still seems to be, though, that Even programs like that are not getting down into really deprived, financially deprived, economically deprived communities.
You mean, in other words, they're bringing in people who should get in, and that's welcome.
Absolutely.
But there's a whole range of people outside that, families outside that, who just aren't reached.
Yeah. An interesting aspect of your report earlier was the way two of the students referred to, Rebecca Merrigan said her mum was delighted. The young man said his parents were thrilled.
Yes, it's the most out, yeah.
Parents are so important in this because fundamentally, I think one of the problems here is it's a cultural one. It's about the ambition for higher education. It's about an appreciation of the value of higher education. And where that rests or where that is in families, I think there's a very good chance of success.
Would you agree with...
Where it isn't, we need to generate it.
Would you agree with the teachers who will tell you again and again, particularly primary teachers, but not just them, that, I mean, access is fine and encouraging people to come in fifth and sixth year and so on and giving them guidance and open days and so on. But it all goes back to the child in going into junior infants and what that child knows, the educational disadvantage. You can only, in other words, your authority can only do so much. You can only do so much at the end, at the top of the pyramid, if you're not doing more at the beginning.
This is a whole of education issue, no question at all about that. And it starts in preschool. In fact, it possibly even starts with families. I think there would be value, and I understand the department is considering this, doing a much more comprehensive strategy around equity of access to education. And I think, because I think it does start much earlier on.
Having said that, the fact that there are, and we heard about it in Louise's report, cutbacks in guidance hours in DESH schools, disadvantaged schools, does that concern you?
Well, I think the ESRI report last week, Leaving School in Ireland, indicated that guidance counsellors are an important factor in all this. But look, there's no silver bullet. And, you know, a guidance counsellor, any one guidance counsellor, can only reach so many young people. The case I'm making, I suppose, is that we need to find a much broader, more effective, systemic approach to this, rather than relying on good individuals in particular schools. I think they're enormously valuable and they do wonderful work, but they are not, that alone is not going to achieve the objectives.
Tom Boland of the Higher Education Authority, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's 8:24.